the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Hartley. Gary McNamara over there cheering on his Bills. A 41-7 victory. Ladies and gentlemen. A victory that they haven't seen in such a long time.
It's one of their best opening days ever. But what I was wondering when I first walked in here, and you know, saw you and Monty in here, first question I asked was what happened to the Cowboys? Because when I woke up,
what we're still asking, and we saw the game.
It was 24-7 or 24-17. They're on the 1 yard line, and there's like 7-8 minutes left. I'm like, this game's over.
No, back it up. The beginning of the fourth, it was 24-10. First time in franchise history, we're being told that they've lost that kind of lead in the fourth quarter. They have never had a 14-point lead and lost the game before tonight.
You got to be kidding me. See, where I come from, that's an everyday thing for my team.
According to a Cowboys coach.
Wow. So I'll have to go back.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'll believe Coach Joe.
Very quickly, just so I know, because I turned it on, they were up, and I went, oh, okay. Yeah. And then I went to, you know, catch some news and other stuff, and I went and jumped in the shower, came back out. Yeah. The game's over, and they've lost. What happened on the 1 yard line?
1 yard line, Romo fumbled.
Fumble! You're kidding.
No, he fumbled. Because he threw it to Witten. Witten got that. That was awesome. He took it to like the 3. A couple plays later, and Romo almost threw an interception. I think he had Jones or Miles or someone in the end zone, and he was. And here's the thing, you know, I understand that he says it's all about having fun, but Romo, when you almost throw an interception, nobody wants to see you smiling. Stop smiling.
Well, you know, I knew the marriage was going to take its toll.
The marriage? What marriage?
Romo.
Oh, he got. That's right, he got married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But. Actually, was he much better than this before he got married? Really? Is that the point you're trying to make? It is Ask the Law. We are here for a reason because Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And welcome, Monty. We want to say that this is the Ask the Law.
The official Ask the Law. Attention affiliates, I'm Ted Koppel. This is the official Ask the Law program
for Monday, September 12th. 2011.
And I had the first question. So if you pulled over Romo for speeding tonight...
Yeah, how many tickets could you give him legally without being fired?
Wow, you were reading my mind. Yeah. We didn't even go through this on our pre-show. You know what my question was.
Yeah, I got your nice guy helping to... You know, you helped the mom and daughter change their
flight. All I've got to say is, Gary, how does it feel for your Buffalo Bills to have a better record than the Dallas Cowboys?
41-7. Yeah. That was incredible.
Well, I saw this headline on the Drudge Report said man stopped with suspicious package, and what it was the winning football appear was a definitely suspicious package. It was a victory football.
Well, yeah.
from the Bills game, and,
right?
You know, from
right.
Winning, and they
right.
played in Kansas.
Well,
City,
it's weird because all the Cowboys fans tonight they're asking what happened, and all the Bills fans tonight are asking what happened. It's been interesting. But Ask the Law for Monday, September 12, 2011. A service of Old Blue USA. We've been doing it for years. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here from the Texas Highway Patrol. And the information and answers to questions are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only, especially when it comes to football. So you can go to askthelaw.org if you like, askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. You can do that anytime, drivers, anytime you like. The website's there 24-7. Sometimes in the middle of the night on a Sunday morning, I'll just check and see, you know what, I'm going to sneak up on them. And boom, go to askthelaw.org, and it's there. It's there. And so is that big red button, and we thank R.J. Taylor. Big Gats Show, you guys have a lot of people there at your booth on Saturday, did you not?
Yes. Saturday we were definitely covered up. Mm. We had lots of folks come by.
Was most of it around CSA, most of the questions?
No, not really. We had a lot of them that came by and was asking about CSA, but it was just... anything and everything to do with trucking.
Yeah.
We had somebody come by and ask a question.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And, I mean, we had them come by and ask hours of service questions.
Sure.
We had them come by and ask about inspection questions.
Yeah.
CSA, driver's license.
Yeah.
It ran the gamut.
Hey, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, CVSA, not to be confused with CSA,
yep.
CVSA doing brake check this
yes.
week.
Yes, they will be doing.
They started yesterday, well, officially.
It started yesterday, but most of them will kick it off today.
Okay.
And they'll do it for, I think, 3 days, but a lot of it is staggered.
Okay.
So you'll have some that'll start tomorrow and some that'll start Tuesday and so on and so forth,
yeah.
Wednesday. But
that's U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Yes, all yeah. three countries will be stopping and doing the inspections looking for brake violations.
Yeah, and this is something they do annually, and they announce it. They put it out there. That's how we know about it.
Well, they have two times a year.
Mm-hmm.
They have one in May that is unannounced.
Yeah.
And then they have
Is that one specifically for brakes?
Yes.
In May?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then they have one in September that is yeah. announced, and then what they do is they compare the data between the one in May that is not announced,
yeah.
Right, then they do road check. And
right,
then,
right, which is separate from, that's basically everything.
Right, and then they have the brake announcement in September.
Yeah.
So they compare the data with all three of them to see how the industry is going.
Well, okay, so that tells me something, that first of all, they're concerned about brakes. That tends to be the number one problem is,
yes.
when it comes to equipment.
Yeah, brakes are the number one still found item when they go through and do the complete level one inspection.
Okay, all right. That's interesting. So just know that that's going to be going on, and they're going to be doing brake check this week. So
yes.
there you have it. It's also a National Truck Driver Appreciation Week.
Yes, and I think they're supposed to have something in October
yeah.
Where they actually will get out, get some of the states involved, a lot of nonprofits involved
yeah.
that will actually go out and set up and educate both truck drivers and the public driving around trucks.
Yeah, yeah, which is a great campaign. We wholeheartedly support any of those types of campaigns. All right, let's talk about this situation. It came down on the Friday, August 26th, the Friday of GATS.
Yes.
Came down that the EOBR rule, this is the one that pertains to carriers who have had a history of noncompliance being required to have EOBRs on their trucks.
Right.
And that was basically sent back essentially to the drawing board. That was kicked back by an appellate court that said, based simply on the harassment argument, there were two other arguments, but the harassment argument is what sent this back. Do we have anything from the FMCSA yet that shows that they're going to go back and address the court's concerns on this harassment? Have you seen anything?
No, I have not seen anything. I have not read the NPRM on it.
Right.
Different venues have indicated that they thought FMCSA had done a good job
right.
of addressing the harassment. But obviously, the appellate court there in D.C. did not agree with them.
Well, here's one thing that my observation, my keen after the game observation, armchair quarterbacking here is OOIDA brought up the fact it went under that this whole harassment idea was what one of the ideas that I guess definitions of or categories of harassment was that. You're taking a carrier, because this is not the law that requires the FMCSA to issue an NPRM that eventually gets to a place where all commercial trucks
right.
are required to have the EOBR. This is the different one, the one that came before that deals with, again, the carriers who had a history of noncompliance through compliance reviews. All right. If you have a carrier who has that history of noncompliance, you still, it's highly unlikely, possible, but highly unlikely that 100% of those drivers under that carrier would have some non-compliance issues. In other words, you might have a couple that don't have hours of service issues, and what OOIDA was arguing was that it's not fair. They consider that harassment because those drivers are affected by something that other drivers under that carrier's authority are being punished for. In other words, they shouldn't be punished for something those other drivers did under that carrier's authority.
Well, and that might be a very good argument.
Yeah, apparently it was, because that's kind of what the
but,
court found.
But what I heard was the harassment issue that they were addressing was, or had to do with, once the driver's break was up, his rest break,
mm-hmm.
that they were afraid that the company would go in
yeah.
and start sending them messages.
That's to get going.
To say, hey, your 10-hour break is
yeah.
up, you
and
need to get on the road.
Keep driving even if you're tired.
Right.
If you have those hours available to you. And that's the other side of the harassment
right.
coming from the private sector.
Right.
And so there were several issues that they had there. Under this whole harassment umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And this was essentially, that's why the court stopped it and said, you know what, we got a lot going on just with this harassment argument.
Right.
Because they went into the whole Fourth Amendment and, you know, search and seizure, which, you know, again, you're going to have to get a commercial vehicle enforcement officer, and I'm not saying this, I said this the other day, I'm not saying it just because you're sitting here, has the right to climb up in that cab
yes.
and check that log, do they not?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that as far as that argument, and that maybe that's why the court kind of sent it away with just the harassment argument right now.
Right.
And sent it back because they believe that this is big enough for, again, on the carrier side of pushing drivers to drive when they have hours available to them. But the drivers are claiming they're too tired to drive, then that becomes a harassment issue from the carrier side. And then from the enforcement side is that, well, you're punishing all the drivers for something that some of the drivers did. So there, that was enough to send it back. Here's my prediction only. What I think will happen is I believe that the FMCSA will get to work on this other EOBR
right.
rule.
Mandatory for everybody.
Mandatory for everyone, and you take care of at least part of that harassment issue.
Yeah.
If I don't know how you word it for enforcement on the carriers as far as keeping them, and you would have to do this in the NPRM somewhere, some language that would keep the carriers from harassing drivers, keeping them on the road when they're tired, even if they have those hours available to them legally, that becomes a little more difficult situation because I don't know where, again, that the FMCSA is just going to have to deal with that kind of language. And if the courts still have that concern, you know, I don't know what happens there. So,
well, I think too, a lot of it is going to boil down to the individual motor carrier.
Yeah,
I know I've got a lot of friends that are still in, you know, that I've made through the years that are in trucking industry mm-hmm. that have switched over to EOBRs.
Right,
and nowhere have I heard in conversations with them that they have had a driver come to the safety department and
yeah.
say, hey, they're forcing
they're
me to drive,
yeah.
they're pushing me,
right.
and so on and so forth. So I think it's going to boil down to an individual company.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there aren't going to be companies that are going to try to do that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there aren't companies that are doing it now.
Right.
I think the biggest majority of the companies that have gone over to the EOBRs, you know, they understand. They know the driver's, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, I'm too tired to drive, find you a safe place.
In a CSA world, that's exactly what has to happen. Kind of, and we were talking about this on Friday's show. I honestly, I think under CSA, any carrier, any smart carrier, knows you don't want to take that risk.
Right.
So, all right, stand by. Trooper Dial is here. Drivers, maybe something happened with you on a recent inspection. Maybe you didn't get a chance to go to the Great American Trucking Show and talk with Trooper Dial. You've got a question on hours of service. Any regulatory question, let's get it answered for you. Toll-free nationwide at 800-288-9227. It's Ask the Law, back in a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, we'll discuss CSA here in just a few minutes. We went long in that last break, but also some of the questions that came your way there at the Great American Trucking Show, hours of service, and everything else. Now, when are we supposed to hear on the final on hours of service? Is it sometime in October?
Yeah, they're supposed to, I think FMCSA has to comply with the court order and release the proposed hours of service by October.
Okay, so we will see what happens there. This is going to be a very busy fall season.
Yes.
With EOBRs and the courts and hours of service and everything else. So check it out and get on board. If you've got a question for Trooper Dial, it is Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, September 12th. 2011. We are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions are up to date and can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And you can go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law, anytime to submit your questions. 800-288-9227. Let's get to you.
Let's talk to Nick in West Virginia. Nick, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
My question is, my CDL is coming up for renewal. I have a hazmat endorsement. I was wondering if I needed to be fingerprinted and have background checked again when I get my CD renewed.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Nick. When does the license expire?
January.
January. You should have been started on that 3 months ago.
Holy cow.
Okay. Does it take that long to get through?
Well, what they have to do is he'll have to go in, submit another set of fingerprints. They have to be sent off. They have to go, one set goes to the state, one set goes to the FBI.
Yeah.
And they're recommending that someone start as much as a year ahead of time.
Yeah, so fingerprints first.
Yes.
Okay, so Nick, get that done ASAP so you can, try and get that through. Okay.
It's like it took that long last time. I'll
do it this time. Yeah, unfortunately, you have to do it every time you go in for a driver's license renewal.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate the call. 800-288-9227.
And let's get right back to you. And we've got, Mr. Romo in Dallas. Clarence in Dallas.
Right.
Clarence, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi. How are you?
Good. I catch you.
Good.
Good. Yeah, see, I guess my question is, I've been out here 20 years driving up and down the road, and I've always had a question on these hours of service as far as, who the panel of people are that come up with these laws as far as judging, how people are out here. I mean, they changed these hours of service laws around, and I think they made it more hazardous out here, because
Are you talking about the new proposal, or are you talking about the law that we've, the rule that we've been under since 2005?
Right. Basically, I started out here, like I said, 20 years ago. So then it was 10 hours and 8-hour break, but you can break up your driving. So if you got tired, you can lay down for 4 hours, get fresh, drive another 5, be safe out here. And then they changed it, and thinking that's the better way to go, and it's almost forcing you to drive your full 10 because you got to fit your key in a 14-hour period.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about this before, and thank you for the call. We do appreciate that. Lots of drivers concerned about the loss of flexibility there, but there is some flexibility that you pointed out.
Yeah, there's nothing in the rules that were initially adopted in 2003. They made one small modification in 2005. There's still flexibility built in there.
Mm-hmm.
If a driver feels that he needs to pull over and take a nap, there's nothing that says, hey, Mr. Driver, you can't do that.
Right.
All you need to do is just be aware that you have 11 hours to drive and you have a 14-hour total duty clock.
Right.
So if you choose to drive the full 11, then that gives you 3 hours that, you can stop, get something to eat, stop, take a break, stop, take a nap, whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So the flexibility is still in there. It's just that a lot of them, depending upon whether or not it happens when they're loading, mm-hmm. when they're unloading, yes, mm-hmm. you may run into a situation there where you don't get that flexibility built in. But once you've picked up your load and you're headed from point A to point B, you still have the 3 hours in there that you can do with however you want to.
Yeah. The carriers were telling me that they're going to more and more to regional hauls. That's the wave of the future, and it makes more sense. And especially if we get back to if the new hours of service, and we don't, again, this is if, gets to a 10-hour drive period each day, then they're going to have to get back to shorter distances between stops. So it's that simple. They will just have that 10 hours.
Yeah, and here again, I think FMCSA, they're still straddling the fence.
Yeah.
They haven't
on
got,
that 10 or 11, you mean?
On the 10 or 11. Yeah. They haven't gotten off on the 10. They haven't gotten off on the 11. They're still up on top of the fence post.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that it's one of those deals that, There are a lot of companies, especially in the LTL business,
mm-hmm.
that have modified a lot of their runs to the 10 to 11 hour range.
Right.
And if they get knocked back to the 10 hour range, 10 hours maximum driving, there's a lot of those runs that what used to be one guy taking it, now then there's fixing to have to be two guys in that
sure.
truck.
Yeah.
So now then, going back to what the deal last week where they sent to the president wanting to know something about anything that's going to cost over $1 billion.
Yeah, the ATA letter.
I think this was what Boehner had sent a deal to the president wanting to know any upcoming legislation that was going to be in excess of $1 billion.
Right, right.
And so that right there is going to be something that's going to be added in there.
Yeah.
Because now instead of one driver doing it, two drivers got to do it.
And the ATA last week sending a letter asking the administration or asking the FMCSA basically saying, please keep the hours of service as they are.
Right.
No changes. So, and they promised to sue.
Mm-hmm.
They have said out loud that we will sue.
Oh, they've already shot a shot across the bow.
Yeah, it's already done deal. Yeah.
it's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to leave plenty of time on the other side of this break here to get your questions answered. So make sure you stand by Pete, Russell, and more. We're going to put you up on Ask the Law coming up next right here
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, September 12, 2011, and we are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers up to date as of today can change without notice. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Let's get back to you at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Pete in North Bend, Washington, in Washington State. Hi, Pete. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law.
Yeah, I got a couple quick questions. Now, on the hours of service, are they talking about going back to the original, the 10 and 8?
No.
No.
Unfortunately,
I don't listen very often.
Unfortunately, no. They are not going to go back to that. Right now, we have no clue. They are being tight-lipped, the folks up at FMCSA, as far as what the new hours of service proposal is.
I see.
Well, okay. they put it out, but we don't know what the final proposal will be, right?
We don't even know that. The only thing that they have indicated that they wanted additional comments from the industry was on whether or not to drop the maximum driving hours back to 10
right.
or keep it at 11.
Right. But we do know that they're putting in there this two periods of midnight to 6 on a 34-hour restart and all these other items. We know that those were part of a proposal.
Right. But I don't know that that's going to be part of the new the one that's supposed to come out in October.
So what's coming out in October is an NPRM. It is
right.
not the final rule.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Right. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
So interesting. That's
I'm an owner operator, so yeah. it's kind of. I'm only back at it about a year and a half now.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, it's going to be an interesting fall. We will, in fact, keep you up to date as soon as we hear something on that. We'll be on the air with it. 800-288-9227. Thank you so much for the call. And I think we do have time for one more before the break.
We certainly do. We go to Russell in Temple, Texas. Russell, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
How are you this morning?
Great.
I got a quick couple of questions for Trooper Dial. Since Texas changed the speed limits back in on the 1st of September,
yes, sir.
Is it okay to drive the night speed limit with the sign still up, or they
no.
still if they got more
you,
set?
No, no, they just haven't. They haven't got around to changing the signs. The speed limit is 70 miles an hour for trucks and cars, nighttime, daytime, anytime.
Okay. Also, one more question. I drive a lot of ranch roads, farm to market roads, and a lot of them are still posted. You know, they got 70, 65 for the cars, but they still got the 60, 55 for trucks on them.
What you need to do is disregard the truck speed limit. You can drive the speed limit of the passenger cars.
Okay, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah,
no, they got the signs up.
Right, and that was something that TxDOT realized that it was going to take a while to get the signs put down. They're trying to get them up and the new signs up as fast as they can.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, Russell.
All right, and that intrigues me. Thank you for the call, Russell. That intrigues me. So even if it's still posted in that zone...
Right.
The law supersedes that
yes.
posting, that official posting?
Yes.
Wow.
So if like on some of the farm to market roads that he was talking about,
right.
they would have a speed limit of 65 for the cars and 55 for the trucks.
Right.
Well, now then there is no splits anymore. Everybody travels the same speed limit.
Right, and that's the law.
And that's the law. Just like on during the daytime, you can drive 70. At nighttime, you drive 65. That's
right.
for both, you know, both cars and trucks. Well, now then, there is no split. It's just 70 miles an hour.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
Anytime.
Wow. What were some of the most common questions coming your way at the Great American Trucking Show? By the way, we have an open line for your drivers right now at 800-288-9227. If you've been trying to get in, now's the time. 800-288-9227, hours of service, CSA. Any regulatory question, we'll get it in for you. What was going on there at Gats? What were people wondering about?
We still had quite a few of them come by asking how to... work the splits,
yeah,
which has been in effect since 2005, and we would sit down, take the time, and show them how that you still can split the berth,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be in the 8 and the 2. That's the only way they can do it. Had a lot of people come by and ask questions about CSA, talking about their driver score. And I tell them once again, drivers are not issued a score.
Mm-hmm.
What FMCSA does is they issue the motor carrier on their SMS. They issue them a score, and the score determines how they compare against other motor carriers that are in their peer group.
Right, right. Now, Vigilo is a private company that's
right.
issuing what they call driver scorecards.
But what Vigilo is doing is they are contracting through the motor carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are doing is they are getting the motor carrier to give them a copy of their motor carrier management information.
All right, I want to talk to you more about okay. this. We're up against a break here, so I want to talk more about what they do and probably where that's leading to some confusion with drivers. We'll continue that on Ask the Law coming up
on the Midnight Radio Network.